Blog Talk Radio.
On our show today, and that is Carla Lynn Hall singing that song, Supernova.
Hello, and welcome to Let's Wedding NYC for you. This is your host, Charlena P.S., and we are lucky enough to have the wisdom of Carla Lynn Hall on the show again. And just to remind you who she is and what she does and why she's on the show. As you may know, and I'm sure if you've been listening, that you do know that she has written a new book, and it is called The Love Reset. And it is a book in which you can find out what you may or may not understand about the man in your life. She explains how to decipher those whatever is going on, and what to do about it on your end. So, Carlin Hall is, of course, a songwriter, singer, and internet marketer, speaker, and, as I said, a writer of books. And The Love Reset is her new book. So, welcome, Carla Lynn Hall. Thank you, Charlena, for having me back on your show. It is always a pleasure. Oh, good. Well, it's always a pleasure having you on. It's so much fun to have a true girlfriend on and a truly talented girlfriend who is a writer as well. And this book is phenomenal, The Love Reset. So I'm actually going to pick up a little bit from where we were before, kind of. I'm not going to do a recap. So we were talking in the last show about switcheroo and whether or not it was bad or good, and what we can get out of it. So when we were talking about that, it made me wonder. And there's going to be two things. I'm going to reference your first show in which you have a Polish neighbor and you said something about don't show a man or show a man only half your ass.
Yes.
So which made me think of Bull Durham, and I think I mentioned it the last in that show. Susan Sarandon's character tells one of the young women that women cannot be seduced, but we are the seducer with our feminine wild, and not by chasing, but allowing ourselves to be chased or chased in both of those terms. Is that similar to what your Polish neighbor says? And do you think, I love compound questions.
I was going to say that.
Do you think movies are influencers to women, but from the bad point of view, from the point of view of not having a love reset? So we won't, I'm just putting that out there. I'll restate that one. So, but in
reference break those down, because I think we have to ask.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I'll start first with the only show a man half your ass, like that, the sort of the folk wisdom. And that it comes down to feminine mystery, you know, the thing that women have, one of the many things that women have in their toolbox is mystery. You know, and the whole feminine ideal that everything that goes on in a woman, everything happens on the inside. You know, if you think about the difference between what is masculine, if you think about an electrical plug going into an outlet, you know, the plug is masculine and the outlet is the is what they refer to as the feminine. Like if you spoke to an electrician, they would also, that means, at least in human form, for me, is that there's so much that's going on with a woman that is a mystery to herself even, but most definitely a mystery to men, because men are often saying, like, gosh, I don't understand that woman. Like, what is she going on? What is she doing? But also just the whole mystery of women and our cycles. You know, we have those 28 days and we're ruled by the moon, and, you know, we have our menstrual cycles and all these other, we have that women's intuition, and there's things that women just know. And I think it has something to do with being a woman. Again, remember I said that men and women are different. We are built differently. Women tend to be, you know, more flowy, and men tend to be a little more logical. And that's like another place where that difference shows up. Now, I'm not going to say that this is 100% above across the board, because, you know, we definitely have a lot of men who are more feminine natured, who are maybe a little more receptive than, say, some men are, and I totally get that. But for the most part, I think biology sort of sets it up so that the man still has the penis, you know what I'm saying? So it's like that whole going for things and that masculine alpha go attitude, you see that a lot in men. And of course, yes, you do see it in women as well. But when it comes to relationships, men do like to be the ones that lead. So the thing that attracts a man, though, is our mystery. So, and I think I did say in that first show that women, I kind of agree with that women do a lot of the seducing, but you don't think of it that way. For example, if a woman smiles at a man and she gets his attention, if he likes what he sees, he might come and approach a woman, and he might think that he made the first move. But if the woman smiled at him first, she might have had that in her mind already. So that's, but because she smiled at him, that kind of come hither magnetism was going on. And he doesn't understand why, and he doesn't need to understand why. All he knows is that he is drawn to this particular woman, and he wants to get to know her better. And, you know, then there begins, you know, a new mystery. New woman, new mystery. And let's see. And what's the other thing? Chased, and men. Men are usually the ones that lean forward, and they like to chase. They prefer to chase, and you have to allow them to chase you and not be so gung-ho to be caught. You know, oh, there's another saying, for example, that you might like, Charlena. There's this one of those other anonymous sayings. I think of so many. It's that if you give a woman 10 men, she will choose. If you give a man 10 women, he will play. Think about that. Women want to choose. Women want to bond. Women want to have that relationship. Whereas a man, and I think it's also biology, you know, they want to spread their seed or whatever that is. Men like to play the field. Men like to date around if they have the option. I think Chris Rock said that a best man is only as faithful as his option. And I don't know, that might be true. You know, if a man can, if he's in a, and I'm not saying that even married men are like that. I'm saying when a man is single, and if he has the ability and the time and, you know, the budget, he might like dating more than one woman at one time and can choose from a few if he had the options. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, a lot of men don't. A lot of men don't. Let me, you know, put that out there as well. A lot of men wish they do. Like, for example, when you're dating, you also have to remember, like, men really like to see themselves as, you know, as you know, the stud muffin. And a lot of times, like, you might be dating a man, and you might be thinking, oh, gosh, when is he going to hurry up and make me his girlfriend? When is he going to propose? But in a man's mind, he's still thinking, well, you know, he's not totally, even if he's not even seeing anyone else, he wants to believe he still has the option to do so. A man wants to believe that he doesn't have to let go of his other choices just yet. So usually, if you're listening to this and you're wondering, if you're listening to this show and you happen to be wondering, when is my man going to make his move? Or what's taking him so long? it's a process. Mm-hmm. And part of that process is he has to decide that he is ready to give up other women for the rest of his life. And let me tell you, for some men, that's a very difficult decision. And that's why you're waiting. That is what you're waiting for. But the thing is, you have to be cool about it. You can't be, you know, complaining and nagging about it. You have to inspire him to make that choice on his own. You can't, you know, you wouldn't, any Oakley, you know, the musical, you can't get a man with your gun. You know, you can't get a man with your gun. You know,
right.
He has to be inspired to come to you. You can't just, you can't hold him hostage.
Okay, I was thinking something else with Annie Oakley, because of course thinking,
instead of this girl who can't say no, but, was that her song? I never saw
that
one. I just know that she was like the sharpshooter, you know, she was the woman sharpshooter, and I don't know if she was the girl who couldn't say no or not. I just know that the song, there was a song about you can't get a man with your gun.
I think it's later on.
Well, you know, I guess I'm going to have to go see that musical next time it's in on Broadway.
Right.
So you were speaking about the, I love that, 10 women for a man, and he's going to play 10 women, 10 men for a woman, and she will choose.
Yeah.
So now, getting back to movies, I mentioned movies. Do you think that movies are, it has nothing to do with your book, but anyway.
No, I think
movies.
It's totally
Are related?
Are influencers
for a woman more than a man?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And then it also,
okay, go ahead and add another compound.
Okay, you know, go ahead. Now we got, I got one answer in this, so go ahead and you can put the second part of that compound question in there. I'm ready for you.
Oh, okay. And if they are influencers, is it, I have two ways of going with that.
No, answer that question. Go ahead, answer that question. No, I'm going to refrain.
Okay.
Well, you know, when you think about chick flicks, you know, rom-coms, you know, romantic comedies, those are all for women. They are totally selling you, you know, hook, line, and sinker, the whole romantic story. You know, girl meets boy, girl loses boy, girl gets boy in the end, or, you know, vice versa. It's definitely a whole, there's a whole industry that's built around that. And when you think about Disney movies are the perfect example. Like, here it is, you have all these, you know, these women, they're fairy tales of, you know, meeting a man or meeting a prince and then getting married and living happily ever after. That is definitely Hollywood. That's Disney, and a lot of that stuff doesn't really apply. Although I love that Frozen totally broke that mold. Thank goodness. And but these movies definitely influence women, and back again, we were saying, I think in the last show, about expectations. Women have expectations because of these movies. You know, so here it is. Remember, like I was talking in the last show about this woman, she wasn't sure if the guy liked her or not because go home after a date. Like, if that's the only thing that you can, if that's the only, you know, parameter that you're looking at, that's not really a good one. You know, does he treat you well? Does he speak to you in a nice way? Does he, you know, did he treat you for the, you know, did he pay for dinner? There's all these other different things that you can use to gauge whether or not a man is interested in you. And if you're only thinking about what you saw in the movie, most men, most real men that, like, are walking the earth, they're going to fall short of those. So I really want women to pay attention to their expectations, because like Valentine's Day, for example, I always feel that it's a game that no man can win, because, you know, a lot of women have these expectations of what they see in movies, and they think, okay, well, you know, if the guy really loves me for Valentine's Day, he's going to do this, you know, and it's something that's seen in a movie. And again, that's not necessarily realistic. So I think, you know, women just need to be careful and mindful of what their expectations are, and you know, and not project them so harshly or beat the man over the head with them. Yeah. All right. So instead of someday my prince will come, we should be someday my muffin is here, or something like that. Something like that. before we get any deeper, though, I'm going to ask you to tell us how to find your book, where to find your book.
Yes, my book, The Love Reset, is found on my blog at datingrelating.com. That's datingrelating.com. It's my book, and on that page, on the sidebar, you can get the easy, quick link to buy it. It is, the cover is on the right side. You can just click on it and go to the purchase page, and it's a great introductory price of $7. It's a PDF, and you can easily and instantly download it, and you can read it as soon as possible, and hopefully, you know, put some things in action tonight.
Ooh. Wow. And putting things in action can change your life from single to not single, and also make you a happier person.
Uh-huh. Yeah, actually, that was actually the first choice, like to go from unhappy to happy.
Exactly.
You know, that to me, that could be even more important sometimes than going from single to married. I mean, you know, we have to be happy with ourselves. I mean, it's such a cliche, but it's really true. If we don't have ourselves together, like if we don't have our own stuff in the right, you know, in the right order, in the right shape, we're not really going to be attractive to another person.
Mm-hmm.
Very true.
So now, what role does our superpower and our being women superpower play in our lives? I'm not even going to qualify it as saying dating, just in our lives.
Oh, but which superpower are we referring to? Because we have so many.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well. Well, name one. I don't know. Name one.
Well, okay. I think earlier we mentioned mystery. You know, women who are really good, just like that whole business of being coy. You know, women have that down. You know, that whole, you know, I was reading this book, this is a great book, The Art of Seduction by Robert Greene, and it has all these really great seduction techniques, and but when I was first reading, I've read this book so many times, but I never really looked at the initial part of the book, and I finally did, and that was actually even more fascinating, because, well, not more fascinating than the strategies themselves, but it was saying that, back to the whole differences, the differences between men and women, in royal times when people would go to court, men historically have had more power than women. So women counteracted that power by getting the attention of the men, and they had to use, you know, they had to use their feminine wiles. You know, they'd use their little side glances. They could never say to a man, come to me, but they had other means. They could do it in the way they dress. You know, they'd wear things that would, they would wear clothing that would, you know, make their body look beautiful. They would, you know, wear perfume, have hair and makeup applied just carefully to be so attractive. But they would also do things like playing hard to get and, you know, being cold and you know, making them jealous, like all those little games that women, that come naturally to women, but, well, they come naturally to a lot of women, but the idea is that it's what a woman kind of felt like she had to do because she had no other kind of power given to her. So that is how women really began to master those tools, those emotional tools, those level seduction tools.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, to level the playing field, because it's like if the man is the one who's getting all the money and you have to marry the right man, or you have to marry someone with the right, you know, from the right, who has land or title, you know, or you're trying to marry for love, or you're trying to attract someone on the side, you know, whatever your, whatever the thing you're trying to accomplish is, a woman has to be strategic. A woman just couldn't feel, and I suppose it's still true now, you know, if you're going to get married, if you are going to sign yourself up to
to live a possible lifetime with someone, you want to make sure you choose the right one. And in order to do that, you have to be strategic about, you know, what are you doing to attract this person? Or maybe you're trying to repel another person because you're hoping that they'll marry someone else. Because, you know, your father wants you to marry someone. So women historically have had to use those powers of seduction and just that they're wilds in order to make things happen.
I agree. And even if you go back as far as thinking about I inferred about the Renaissance times, if you look at Elizabeth the First, she was known in history as having a ravenous sexual appetite. However, she could not display that openly because she didn't want to just get married to just anyone because she was a queen, because then they would take over the kingdom. So she had to work in between the lines, as it were, with her feminine wild. So
So now, why do you think that we forget that we're kind of amazing?
Well, I think everybody does it. Sometimes we take ourselves for granted, you know, or we are with ourselves so much, we kind of forget that we are beautiful and that we have a good personality and that good listeners or all these different things. And you know, we find ourselves comparing ourselves to other people, or we're so focused on the validation of, you know, the man that's in our life that we kind of forget that we got it going on, you know. I think you know, it's something we have to remind ourselves. You know, I wish we wouldn't forget, but you know, we do. It's just like what was it, like in the biblical story? I forget which one. Oh gosh, I'm sure you're probably better at this one than I am, but When the people were being led out to Moses was leading the people out, and like they were walking. Oh, that's what we were doing. We were reading a story about this once, and everyone like forgot, like, you know, like the people. If you believe in God, if you read the Bible, this will apply, or it might make sense. But it's still human nature that even though something could be going really, really good for us, somehow we will forget. You know, something bad will happen, and we'll forget all about the good stuff. You know, we might say, oh, God is so good, God is so good, God is so good. And then something happens, and your dog dies. And then you're like, oh, my God, oh, life is awful. You know, but things happen, but it doesn't mean that you're any less special and unique and unique than you always were. You just forgot. And we forget, so I like to remember.
I like to remind people.
Yeah, that we are amazing. We are just living is the fact that we're living, that we got here on during this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. And then remembering who we are, and then we have to know that we're amazing. Yes. There's my little speech there. I'm gonna turn to one of your steps. Mirror.
Okay.
Tell us about that.
Yes, mirroring is a really, really great step, and I find myself using this one a lot because I think it's important. Mirroring means to mirror the investment of the emotional investment that the man that you're with is also doing to you. So, for example, if you find yourself, a lot of things for a man, you find yourself all of a sudden you're like complaining, you know, you're like, oh my God, I've done all this stuff for him. I've gone shopping for him and I've done this and oh my God, now he's not doing anything for me. Well, what that usually means is that the woman is over functioning. She's over invested. So it's really important to keep an eye or just pay attention on the effort, on the amount of effort that this man is putting into you. And that's when we talk about leaning back. He puts you in observation mode. Because, like, when you're being Miss Eager, like, oh, what's he doing? Is he going to call me tonight? Are we going to go to the movies? Are we going to get married? Like, when you're, like, so eager, you are so focused on him, well, you're focused on what is he doing? What is he doing? What is he doing? Or like, what is he going to do this for me? What is he, you know, and it's the focus is so on him. But when you are, when you lean back, you're able to really see what this land is offering you. Because when you are, like, making all the moves, you're making all the dates, you're making all the calls, when you're paying for everything, if you're not really paying attention that the man isn't really meeting you halfway, there's a problem. So the idea is that you're meeting the man halfway. You are not putting yourself, you're not putting yourself there more than he is for you. And I'm not trying to say you have to be selfish and you have to be all in for yourself, but you have to keep an eye on things and not let it get so uneven that you are doing all the work in a relationship. Because if you do, that's a recipe for disaster right there. Because how do you know if you're doing all the work in a relationship to get him, you know, to get a man to go out and, you know, you're giving him sex or whatever you're doing, how do you know that he's really into you or if he's not just lazy? You have to give a man an option. You have to give him the opportunity to treat you to do nice things for you, to pursue you. If you do all the pursuing, you will never really know if the man is really interested in you. And then the man gets lazy. So you mirror the man. You do not get ahead of them.
So do you think that women are attracted to lazy men, do you think, ultimately?
No, I don't say that. Well, we can be lazy makers. We definitely can, because I think, you know, we're looking at that finish line. You know, for a lot of women, they're thinking of marriage is the finish line, and they're doing everything that they can to hurry up and get there. Whereas usually a man wants to take the scenic route. You know, it's not like he'll never get to the finish line, but he's just in no rush, you know. So it's like before he gets there, he might want to date a few women, or he might want to just, you know, take his time, as I said, before giving up the opportunity or the option to date as many men, I mean, excuse me, date as many women as possible. I mean, like, you're a man, you could be with a man who's never been with any other woman ever, 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 ever. But in the back of his mind, he's still hoping that maybe one day, you know, he could be like the next Casanova. You know, it's like a fantasy, right? And you have to allow the man for his fantasy. He will never, for many of them, he will never cheat on you. He will never stray. But in his mind, he just likes the idea that he could maybe one day, maybe sort of. So he's not going to be rushing into getting married, because he just likes the idea that maybe he could sometime, you know, be this Casanova type dude. So if you push a man too far, if you push him too hard to, you know, to do your bidding and to hurry up and marry you, you're just going to push him away. And if you do all the work in a relationship, he's going to get lazy. And you can't be surprised later on. When you can't say call a man a lazy when you've made him that way, because he can. Like, when you do all the work, the man will get used to you doing all the work. And why should he do anything else? So by mirroring a man, you're just keeping things in an even keel, so that neither one of you is pushing so much farther ahead, and that you are not so much more emotionally invested in this relationship than the man. Because I see that a lot. You know, when women get so caught up in a man, they don't necessarily notice that he's not quite as into her as he should be, or that you would expect or you would hope. But, you know, if we have, like, that dream in our head, or we're just, you know, we let that dream or those movie-inspired fantasies get the best of us, we might not really pay attention to what the man is actually putting on the table. You know, you might be thinking, oh, this is going to be my future husband. When in truth, he only wants to be your friend with benefits. So you have to pay attention.
Right.
Don't let your, so you mirror a man in order to see where he really is. Not where you want him to be, but to see where he is right now.
And if you're, which makes me think that if you're not mirroring him and you're making him lazy, it's almost like you're a puppy. And if I might use that analogy, puppies are really cute and playful for a while, and then hopefully they either grow up or they get taught things that they shouldn't do. But in any case, someone else is controlling them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is true. That is true. Yeah, you have to. Yeah, you know, you can't. But you know, the woman shouldn't be the puppy. You know, not for too long anyway.
No.
I think you have to temper, you know, all that enthusiasm and eagerness, and allow a man to fill in that space. Like it, because it's so easy to like if you don't hear from your guy in like a couple of hours or a day or a week, you know, depending on your relationship, if you don't hear from him and you start leaning forward and leaning in and calling him and texting him, that's not really attractive because you're doing all the work. Again, you are doing all the work. If you text a man and he doesn't, and you don't hear back from him, then what's the point of texting him 8 more times? You know, he knows you called. He knows you called, and also he didn't forget about you. This man did not, especially if you've already slept with him, he did not forget about you. And you have to trust that you are attractive and that he knows who you are, he knows where you are, he knows how to reach you, and he will do so when he is ready. Now, the thing is, if he takes too long to get back to you, you have a choice. Hopefully, you have other people that you are seeing, or you might have to cut him to the curb. You know, you might have to let him do his thing with someone else. So, again, by paying attention when you're mirroring the man, you get a better idea of where he really is. Okay. I want to go on, but I think because we only have about 3 minutes.
Okay.
Let me think. I would like to. I'm going to come back to cutting him to the curb in our next show, because we will be having a next show. But really quickly, within your 7 steps, I commend you because you have all of these really these sub steps as well within a lot of them. For instance, in Get Busy, you have a desires list. Can you tell us about a desires list? And is that like a wish list?
It is
a bit of a wish list of sorts. A desire list could be things to do. It could be things you want to purchase. It could be experiences that you want to have. This idea of you as a woman being in touch with what you want, because sometimes women will get kind of out of that loop, and when you get so caught up in a relationship, in a family, in a marriage, family, you know, all your obligations, you will find sometimes women will say, I don't know what I want. I don't know what I want, and that means a woman is totally cut off from her own desires. So if you are in your get busy phase, if you create a desire list, that is like one little tool that you can use to return to your desires and really ask yourself, what do I want? What makes me happy? And then, by all means, go out and do those things. But also, when you are in a good place, it's just one of those weird things that when you are in a good place, you begin to manifest those things on your desire list. So it could be something like, you know, it could be a nice vacation, it could be an ice cream cone, it could be a trip to, to a carnival or something. But the idea is that you get in touch with your desire, and when you do that, you become even more attractive as the vibrant woman that you are.
Okay.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The Love Reset. We are not finished with Ms. Carla Lynn Hall. She will be back for another show. And again, The Love Reset, only $7, you all. $7. And you can get it on her website at Dating Relating. No and, datingrelating.com. Don't forget. And I know you want to hear more from Ms. Hall, and she will be back I promise you. But until now, until then, this is Charlene at PF signing off from Budget Weddings NYC for you. Thanks.